You're listening to Humanitarian Radio with your hosts, Tony St. Tone and Janie Beauclair.
Good afternoon and welcome to this edition of Humanitarian Radio. I am Janie Beauclair.
And I'm Tony St. Tone.
And hey, we're welcoming our friends and our family. And if you are a first-time listener to our show, we're happy to have you. We are a feel-good show shouting out some good news from around the world. And you can expect some great positive music by St. Tone, as well as some great innovative guests every week. And see what's going on around the USA with our events calendar.
So today's guest is Mel Novak. You might know Mel because he has been an actor for the past 25 plus years, if not more. And he has been in a number of movies and a number of TV shows. He was in Eye for an Eye, Game of Death. These are movies with Bruce Lee and with...
A lot of action movies.
A lot of action movies, yeah. And he's always played the villain, but he's also been in Beretta, Mob Squad, Ironside, Police Story. Like I said, you'll recognize him as soon as you see his photo. But more so than that, he has been a minister on Skid Row and in all the different jails and state penitentiaries for the past 29 years. And he's just doing some great, great work out there, converting people into believers in themselves and in that they can change their lives even though they are in prison.
Now, I think it's really ironic that he has spent the majority of his life in Hollywood as a bad guy.
Yeah.
On the streets, in the mobs, you know, bad, bad, bad guy in a lot of the films he's done.
Yes.
But in reality, he is the complete opposite.
The exact opposite.
He's saving people's lives. He's saving people.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful transition. And definitely stay tuned and listen to what he has to say. He's done more movies in 1 year this year than he has done ever like that in his career. So that's pretty exciting. He's got a lot of stuff coming out. We look forward to keeping our eye on him and what he's doing and definitely supporting him. So we have had an exciting couple of weeks. We have moved our studio for Humanitarian Radio to a brand new, amazing facility. We are so excited to be able to offer you such a new stepped up show because our equipment and our facility is so far advanced. So thank you for your patience with us the last 2 weeks and not airing our show, but we know that you will find it well worth the wait as we are going to be offering all kinds of new things on our channel now.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about a couple of things that have happened in the past couple of weeks that we haven't been on the air.
Mm-hmm.
One is we have done our 7th show for the International Family Film Festival. And it was their 20th anniversary. Chris Shoemaker is the founder of the International Family Film Festival.
Amazing
and
guy.
And he is one of the main purposes that we actually moved to California from Florida. We were flying out here across country.
Every year.
Every year for a couple of years. And he kept insisting that we should consider moving out here. And the moment that we decided to move, we actually drove cross country, and 3 days later, we did the event here.
Probably 5 years ago.
Yeah, that was about 5 years ago. So I want to thank Chris Shoemaker for everything he's done for us.
His insight and his definitely his thought pattern on we were worthy of being Californians because we had a lot to offer out here.
Yeah, and also I want to thank him for all the work that he's doing with the Family Film Festival because it is something that he is bringing great entertainment out into the world that the entire family can watch.
Positive films and,
yes,
and real strong family-valued stories. And the other thing that's really cool is he's bringing people in from all over the world with these films. So he's opening up the ability for us to, you know, see international filming on positive levels right here in California and in the United States. So congratulations and bravo, Chris Shoemaker, on your 20th year. Very successful event once again, and we are still thrilled to be a part of it every single year.
Talking about films, I have decided that I'm going to be shooting a documentary on my new nonprofit, spiritofmusicfoundation.org. I've already shot in some footage here and there, but a little voice inside of me said, you really need to put together a documentary about how music affects people and the positive healing effect of music. And since I do perform for veterans and the elderly and people in hospitals and people that are incarcerated, music has a different effect on all these different groups. So my thought was is to start capturing stories and start capturing some interviews with people while I'm performing and after I perform, and see how music affects them and how it does heal them and help them change their attitude and their mood. So I've reached out to a couple of producers, and I'm real excited that I'm going to start working with a couple of people that are really into doing documentaries and putting stories together. So look forward to that, because I'm in the process of shooting it right now.
And let me just say, you have been traveling around the world for 30 years, entertaining troops around the world, literally going into, you know, fighting zones and things of that nature. And I got to say that this is long overdue. Somebody should have been following you around 30 years ago, because this isn't something new. And yes, you just started the nonprofit, but you've been on this trail your entire life of bringing positive music and good words to people who needed a life lift. So I'm really proud of you, Tony, and I just want to say that I'm delighted that you're taking this step, and I think it's a really eye-opening experience for those who have never had the privilege of doing something so wonderful for others. I think it's really going to show people what music has the ability to do.
Absolutely. And, you know, your donation dollars towards the organization always, always, always helps us to do more shows and do more events for those in need of a life lift. So please go to www.spiritofmusicfoundation.org. Check out the video, and any type of contribution is extremely appreciated.
Well, there's a lot of really cool things on that site that have been donated to us that we are selling and that people can purchase for Christmas gifts or holiday gifts, birthdays, whatever. And they're purchasing at a wholesale discount, and it's providing money for you to go out and perform further.
Yeah.
So it's a win for the people who donate by purchasing, a win for the people that get the performance, and a win for us because it certainly satisfies our soul.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that we had the pleasure of doing through Spirit of Music this past week was we got to celebrate a 102 birthday.
Yeah.
For a woman at the Royal Gardens of Camarillo. And
that's a nursing home.
It's a nursing home. And she was there with all of her friends, and the average age was probably 90 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But this woman was 102. That means that she was born in 1913. She has seen two world wars and an extreme change in how we communicate. And, you know, she's still very coherent. She's told us both, "I really enjoy your music. Thank you for coming."
She was singing along. She knew a lot of the songs.
She did.
I was very surprised,
you know,
that she knew. But, you know, she was sharing the birthday with a couple of other gentlemen. One was a 91-year-old man, and one was a 90-year-old man. And a lot of them knew the music that we were doing, which was really surprising because they've been
around a long time.
Well, this time we were doing music from the 60s and 70s, I'd say, was probably our range for this show.
And we threw a couple of modern songs in there, too, and that one lady wanted to dance.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We always have a dancer, and that's a beautiful
thing. We always
have
a dancer, and one guy was stomping his feet so much, and I guess what had happened was he put his pants on with his underwear stuck in his pants, and I guess he didn't realize it, and I could see how that could happen. But as he was stomping his feet, his underwear actually fell through his pant leg, and then I got a big kick out of that.
I completely missed that. I have to say, I did not get to witness that event.
Yeah,
but
it was definitely,
you know,
funny.
When you're at these homes, it really doesn't matter. You
No.
know, it doesn't matter what's going on. It's such a fulfilling adventure. You see these people that you can literally see their expressions change as they remember where they were when they heard that song before. And you see smiles, you see tears roll down their face. And there's one gentleman at this particular nursing home. Every time we go, his expression, his natural expression, looks like he's always mad. And that's just his natural expression.
Yeah.
But he spends the entire 2-hour concert calling various people on his phone and holding up his phone so they can hear us perform. And He never smiles. It's the same face.
No, he doesn't smile. However, yeah.
He must really be enjoying it for him to call other people and say, hey, listen to what we're listening to. And those types of moments are just so satisfying for us to, you know, have the privilege to be able to go and bring smiles to people on just a, you know, an off day, a regular day for them. We forget when we're out in the world and we're out in the public going about our daily business that some people don't have visitors. Some people are all alone. Some people are, you know, ending their life at a point in because age is taking them there. So to that, I want to say I volunteered us on Christmas Day to go perform at this place.
Yeah.
At 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And what the lady who does all the booking there, what she said, she basically manages the place. She said, you know, it's so sad because on Christmas Day, a lot of these people get picked up by their families to go home for the holiday for their Christmas meal. But those who don't have family here in this state are here all by themselves. And they're very sad because they're left here behind. They're not with their families. Their families are very far away. And they don't have anybody coming to hang around that day either. So she says, we'll have a little party at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And I said, well, would it be okay if Tony and I came and performed for them that day? And I thought she was going to cry. She said, that would just be the most amazing thing for you guys to give up your Christmas afternoon to change the lives of 20, 30 people who are going to be here all by themselves. So I appreciate that.
Well, when you hear that sound, you know it is time for our quote of the week.
Well, this saying is going to be in honor of Thanksgiving. You know, Thanksgiving is a time to give thanks for many, 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 many things. And this saying, I think, pretty much sums it up. Ready? Take time to be thankful for everything that you have. You can always have more, but you could also always have less. Take time to be thankful for everything that you have. You can always have more, but you can always have less.
You know, coming from a place of gratitude is something that is often spoke about, that people, you know, should be thankful for what they have. And a lot of times people get confused because they go, well, if I'm just thankful for having an apartment, then I'm not going to get that house I really want. And if you think about the laws of attraction, it's like attracts like. So if you're thankful for what you have, then you're going to bring more of what you are thinking about and thankful right. for. But if you're still like, ugh, this place is miserable, this isn't good, then you're going, oh, you want stuff that isn't good? Okay, we'll give you more of that.
Well, you know, we have a friend, David Meltzer, who talks gratitude with his employee staff every single morning before work.
Yeah.
They do a little meditation together before work hours start, and it starts out with gratitude, being grateful for everything that they have in their life, and they list things out that they're grateful for, and that's how they start their every day. And he says that their employees are very well balanced, very appreciative. They do a great service for him at work because he's instilled that whole gratitude, thank you way to start your day.
Yeah, and honestly, if you can list 5 things that you're thankful for every day and then go, let's think of 10 things, you know, it's like how you change your focus. How can you change your focus? If you say, well, I'm thankful for having this computer to listen to this radio show at this moment, or I'm thankful for my hearing, or I'm thankful for the chair that I'm sitting in. You know, it's the little things that you should be thankful for. If you're ever on a hike and you're pretty thirsty and tired, you'd be really thankful for a glass of water.
Amen, brother.
You know, so it's like when you don't have those things that we take advantage of or take for granted, that's all of a sudden you're like, oh my God. So,
you know, we were just in Sacramento. We were at the Imagination IQ event with another friend of the show, Dan Fowler.
Yep.
And Dan Fowler this week on his Facebook has it's either 7 or 10 days of gratitude. I think it's 7 days of gratitude. And it's a every day, be grateful, have a reason to be grateful. And it's a great idea to start this type of thing coming up on Thanksgiving, but it's a better idea to keep it going throughout the year. So if you need some help with getting a thank you gratitude program going, go check out Imagination IQ and Dan Fowler and see what he's up to. And he's very inspiring, so he can help you get on that train.
Yeah, and it's a simple thing to just, you know, just saying thank you for another day. It can be as simple as that. You don't have to get as elaborate and thank you for, you know,
fancy schmancy
things. But I think as you focus and put your focus on what you do have, you'll get more of the good things that you do have as opposed to the things that you want. Because if you come from a place of desperation going, I really want this and I really want that and I really want that, well, then you're always going to want. But if you're coming from a place of abundance of what you already have, then...
And gratitude.
Gratitude, things, more things show up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Simple law of attraction.
USALuxuryDirect.com. Luxury goods to your doorstep. Get name brands like Waterford Crystal, Kate Spade, Swarovski Crystal. A variety of luxury items straight to your doorstep. Get ready for the holiday season. Go to USALuxuryDirect.com. So we want to thank our sponsor, USA Luxury Direct. As you know, this show is run strictly on donations, and we appreciate them supporting our cause and helping us shout out some good news around the world. If you have a chance, go check out USALuxuryDirect.com and put in the code word humanitarian radio, and they'll give you an extra discount. Do you have a great idea for a product and you don't know how to get it made? Call Artistic Journey. They'll help you find your way to getting your new products made and into the marketplace. Need a free consultation? No problem. Need artwork and graphics? No problem. Need your idea turned into something wonderful that the whole world can use? Call Janie at Artistic Journey to help you get through this process. It's not as hard as you think. With 20 years of experience, Artistic Journey can pave the way for your product to get into the hands of people around the world. Call Artistic Journey today, 941-780-2538.
So it's time for some good news from around the world.
So my first good news story today comes from the Netherlands. There was a mom who was suffering from hypoglycemia. She had an attack while she was making dinner for her 5 children. She ended up being taken to the hospital and, of course, was very concerned about the 5 children. So these police officers and paramedics decided to stay behind while she was taken, finish the dinner that she was making for the 5 children, feed the 5 children, and then take them to the hospital to see their mom after they had their dinner.
Wow.
Now, police officers, they get a pretty bad rap. But I wanted to tell this story because we continually find these awesome stories of people doing some cool things. And a lot of times it's police officers.
Yeah.
Remember the story we did not long ago about the police officer that went over the railing on his time off to hug a guy for 30 minutes to stop him from jumping?
Committing suicide, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we've done a lot of really great cop stories, and this is just another one.
And, you know, just to add to the cop story, I remember I just saw on Facebook somewhere, and I'm not sure if it's in Alabama or not. I want to say Alabama, somewhere down south. But anyway, what these police officers were told to do is pick out cars that were damaged, either had been hit in an accident or had Bondo on them. You know, just basically these junky cars. And they were pulling these people over, and they had a cameraman with them, and you could see the people are freaking out. They're like, what is it? I didn't do anything. I don't know why you're pulling me over. And they're extremely upset. And the police officer says, well, I'm your secret Santa.
Mm-hmm.
Here's $100. And they were giving away $100 bills. And to see the reaction of these people afterwards was like amazing. And I'd love to see those types of stories put into the mainstream news. And unfortunately, you don't see it on the mainstream. You just see all these other ones. So
that's
what we're here to do, though, people. We are here to bring you some good news
for your soul. And here's another really cool story. This 95-year-old guy named Bill.
Bill
called into a BBC morning radio program. And he was commenting on whatever was happening on the program. But what happened was he told the host, Alex, that he was extremely lonely. And when Alex asked him why he was lonely, he said that he was 91. He had married his wife, who he had been friends with for 30 years. He married her at age 85. So they've been married for 6 years.
Okay.
She came down with Alzheimer's, and she's in a home now. And she only remembers him sometimes. And he said what makes him really sad is that she'll say, did we get married? Are we married now? Are you my husband? Things of that nature. And of course, after waiting 30 years to marry her and then finally marrying her and then losing her mentally,
yeah,
he's struggling with that. So, oh, he's 95 years old. So what the DJ did, the radio host did, was ordered a taxi cab to go pick him up from his apartment. He comes into the radio show and the radio host gets up and gives him a hug and hugged him for 5 minutes kind of thing. But then started telling people on the air about this gentleman named Bill. Well, the next thing you know, there were 30 people who came into the studio to hug him from off the street that had pulled off in their car, went to hug this guy and tell him that, you know, he's very much loved at age of 95. Don't feel like your life is over. A lot of people love you. You know, we're complete strangers and we love you and that type of thing. And the next thing you know, he was being picked up for lunch on a daily basis by complete strangers to just spend time with him. People were taking him to the library, Sunday brunch, afternoon trips. He went to the orchestra. He learned how to play the ukulele. All these people took him under their wing, adopted him, and are now just, you know, they've befriended Bill because
that
he was lonely.
Awesome.
Isn't that a great, great, great story? I love that. You know, and I want to say something about that as well. My mom just turned 80. Her boyfriend, Ross, is 83.
Yep.
And they are getting married. And I think that is the most amazing, wonderful, beautiful thing.
Yes.
I think that it's never too late to find a second love because they've both been married before for many, many years and both of their spouses have passed. And I just think it's a really beautiful thing and that everybody should support the second coming around of love, no matter what age you're at.
So is love ageless?
It is.
It is ageless.
And timeless.
And timeless. That's a better way.
Okay, so we have another cool story, and this one's about a dog. You know what a dash hound is?
It's a hound with a dash on it.
It's like a little hot dog dog, a dachshund kind of looking.
Okay.
Long and skinny.
Short legs.
Yes, and very small, little wiener dogs, they call them. Well, this little wiener dog was protecting his two brothers and sisters. Actually, those were human brothers and sisters. There was a bear that came in the yard, and the little dog went and attacked the bear in Russia to save the two boys, and indeed saved the two boys. The dog ended up getting 28 stitches, and they did save the dog, but the children literally were saved as a result of this dog's action. One of the boys had gotten bit in the arm. Another boy had gotten bit in the head. So this bear was obviously attacking them viciously.
Wow.
And the dog saved them. Very, very cool dog story.
That's amazing.
And our last story is going to come out of Atlanta, Georgia. You know, we were talking about in the Netherlands not long ago, there was a nursing home who decided that they were going to let teenagers that were homeless live in the nursing home as long as they spent an hour or so a day working with the elderly, and working with meaning just sharing time with them.
Yeah.
Letting the elderly educate them and them educating the elderly. And it's a whoppingly successful story. Well, this reminds me a lot of that spirit. There were people in the subway, an elderly couple in their 80s in the subway, and there was a young man, 19 years old, African-American man sitting on a bench struggling with tying his tie. He was very dressed up, and the lady sitting next to him said, young man, do you know how to tie a tie? And he said, no, ma'am, I do not. The husband then gets up, goes over, and ties the man's tie for him. Then he takes it apart, and he gives him a tutorial lesson, step by step, teaches him how to tie a tie while they're waiting for the train. Well, it turns out that the young man was going for a job interview. He was very nervous. He didn't have a father. The father was in prison. So no one ever taught him how to tie a tie. And this elderly couple took it upon themselves to keep an eye on this young man. The young man did get the job and is doing quite well. And now this elderly couple is basically their his little guardian angel. They help him out. They take him around the city. The older gentleman is educating the younger boy.
That's very cool.
Very, very cool. you know, it only takes a little bit of effort sometimes to change the life of a child.
Anyone. It doesn't even have to be
young
a child.
Young adult, yeah. Yeah.
It takes a little effort to change the life of anyone, just with a little kindness.
Yeah, I think that's just a beautiful thing. And I wish our younger generations would really learn from the elderly in, you know, there's a lot they have to offer. Spend some time with somebody that is a generation older than you and see what you learn.
Positive affirmations wrapped in pop rock songs.
Give me that best case scenario.
It's motivational musician Saint Tone. Check out his latest live show, The Rise Up Experience, at www.sainttone.com.
We can always hug it out.
Pick up his latest CD, Outside the Box, available on iTunes.
We choose to end.
For music with a positive message, check out sainttone.com.
Here are some events that may be happening in your area. Check out events calendar on humanitarianradio.com. Well, we're going to start out today with November 22nd, where if you're in the Beverly Hills area, you can go down to the infamous Rodeo Drive and watch the lighting of the trees. I will be the hostess as Mrs. Claus this year.
Yeah, you will.
Very exciting. So come on down to Rodeo Drive in Beverly Hills, California, and join us for the lighting of the trees from 6 to 8 this evening.
Now, just real, on another note, you're going to be there all month long in December also.
It's true. I'm going to be riding the trolley, singing to children, Christmas carols, and also at the Pele Center and on the Cobblestone Walkway and Rodeo Drive. And I am just privileged, delighted, and honored to fill the shoes of Miss Suzanne Shoemaker Mrs. Claus.
If they want to know when you're going to be there, they can go to www.janiebeauclair.com.
It's true.
And see a list of all the times that you're going
to
be there.
I'm also going to put a link to my website on Humanitarian Radio's events calendar.
Perfect.
November 28th to December 5th, Women's Yoga Retreat, Jalapa, Mexico. And also on December 2nd to the 5th, Empowered Seminar in Mechanicsville, Pennsylvania. December 11th to the 13th is the Green Sustainability Expo in Portland, Oregon. December 17th to the 20th, Awakening Your Higher Crystalline Senses, Tucson, Arizona. December 17th to the 23rd, Insight Meditation Solstice Retreat, Woodacre, California. December 29th, January 2nd, Renew, Relax, Recharge Spiritual Retreat, Nevada City, California. If you're looking for something to do and you want to plan ahead to a vacation, we have events all the way through May of 2016 on our events calendar. So feel free to join us. And if you know of something we should be posting, please let us know on humanitarianradio.com. Okay, and we are here today, delighted to have Mr. Mel Novak with us. And Mel, we were just having a little chit-chat about some of the great things that you are known for and what you've done. And so we're going to just repeat a few of those for our audience. Tony and I were having a conversation about a few of our favorite shows back in the day, Man-X, Beretta, Mod Squad, Ironside, Police Story. You have played the villain, and you're actually a really cool, nice guy.
Well, I know I'm the villain. Yeah, I did 5 movies this year, 2 starring, 3 co-starring. And I never did 5 in my life in 1 year. Last year, I did 268 services. And Skid Row in prisons all over the country.
Wow.
And over 4,500 prisons all over the country came into the kingdom. And this year is like, I still average 21 services a month, but in all those movies that I did, I only missed like four was, services. It was like God even took care of the scheduling.
Don't you love that?
Like, oh, yeah. In Syndicate Smasher, I was a main actor. My billing's oh, yeah. above the title.
In
Syndicate Smasher, mm-hmm. I was a main actor. My billing's above the title. I got all this dialogue, mm-hmm. all these shooting days. Need to help me out with the scheduling. It was amazing. I missed one service. I'd do 3 days of shooting, and then 2 days where I wasn't shooting, I'd be either in Skid Row or prison. Then go back. Now one day I shot four Yakuza with an Uzi. And the next day I was at county jail, and I said to the guys in the chapel, hey, I just killed four Yakuzas. I paused, but I used blanks.
Yeah.
I keep telling you guys, you can't use real bullets. You go to penitentiary, and that's not a good thing.
Right. Now, how many years have you been involved in the acting industry, in the entertainment world?
About 36 years, 37 years, and I've been ministering on Skid Row 33 years.
Wow, so they've gone hand in hand for you.
Skid Row 33 years.
Say what?
It's been hand in hand for you.
Oh, yeah. And then, I went to the Union Rescue, and I was invited to the Union Rescue Mission as a celebrity at the Sunrise, Easter Sunrise service. And I had already done the Game of Death, Bruce Lee's last movie, and Black Bell Jones. Another karate movie that was the biggest movie and third biggest money maker that year. And the CEO, I had about 25 street people around me, and the CEO was watching. And they were listening and hanging on every word. And I use a lot of scripture. I probably 120 scriptures in every sermon. And when I speak, I do that. That's, you know, the word of God. You can't do any better than that.
Right.
So he said to me, he says, that was unbelievable. They usually don't hang around. And so I started doing a service there. Then the L.A. Mission heard about me. I started there. And then one of the guys in the spiritual growth program, he just got out of county jail. The chaplain there who already spent time in San Quentin, he was a Bruce Lee fan. So this guy Mike called him and said, hey, stick the assassins. Ministering, he's a Christian. Then I started there, then I went back to Wallway, New Jersey, level 4 penitentiaries in New York, Pennsylvania. And everything opened up. The Fred Jordan Mission, the Long Beach Rescue Mission.
And everything opened up.
I've done over 5,000 services in the last 20, 21 years. It's just amazing.
Do you have a favorite memory or one story that sticks out bigger than others in all of the missions and prisons and places that you've gone to?
Yeah, Pelican Bay Penitentiary. It's the worst penitentiary in the country, most violent.
Pelican Bay.
83%, 86% are lifers, never ever get out. And when I had prostate cancer, I refused to have them take it out. I wouldn't take chemo if they put a gun in my mouth or radiation, anything. I heard the Lord say, just trust me, Mel. And I had five lifers that I led to the Lord up there.
And I had
in Pelican Bay, that prayed for me every day.
The Lord up there.
And when
in Pelican Bay,
when the Lord me every healed day. Me, took it all away.
And when
5 years later, Chaplain Lou told
them, all away,
"The Lord healed Mel Novak," and they had Chaplain their hands Lou in the air, going, "Praise the Lord."
The
and
Lord
these are lifers; they'll never ever get out. They had a ministry, so that to me. And I have stacks of letters that I've gotten from. Inmates thanking me. I've given
letters
an arsenal prayer, warfare prayer. I've given over 124,000 now. And addresses you for the battle against the devil, because it is a war, 2 Corinthians 10:3.
And
they're doing, in penitentiaries, they're doing Bible studies on my arsenal prayer, which people could download off of my website. It's www.melnovak.com. M-E-L-N-O-V-A-K. Go to the warfare section. And it changes people's lives. It's all scriptural.
Go to the warfare.
But it dresses you for the battle.
And it changes.
And every day's a battle. I see it. You know, yesterday there were 90 people in the Fred Jordan Mission.
I see it.
And you see brokenness. You see ones abused, rejected, abandoned, betrayed, molested.
Ones abused.
And walking wounded everywhere.
Yeah.
And this is where God set me.
And walking wounded everywhere.
Well, you know, that makes a lot of sense as far as you being sent someplace like that. I do a lot of similar work. I'm a motivational musician, and a lot of times the shows that I do are for the people that need it the most, that need a life lift, you know, that need that inspiration. So if I'm drawn to the county jails, or if I'm drawn to rehabilitation centers, or if I'm drawn to even the elderly or a children's hospital, wherever people need a life lift, that's the types of shows that I like performing the most through my nonprofit. So, you know, we have a lot of similarities there as far as the work you're doing, the work that I'm doing. And it's really interesting because I know that a lot of people that are in the entertainment business sometimes don't really get that. Me being a musician, you know, I've had friends say, wouldn't you want to play at a bar or a concert as opposed to playing in a jail? And I said, you have no idea. Some of the shows that I've done in jails are probably some of the best that I've done ever. And I'm very similar to you, where I've done over 5,000 shows. And those are the shows that affect people the most and touch their souls the most. Those are the ones that they're so hungry and waiting for something positive. So when you show up with something positive and they can latch onto it, I think that's incredible. Incredible work.
I preach Christ crucified. I don't candy coat it or soft soap it.
Well, I preach,
and I back everything up with verse of scripture. And you know, joy is the first thing the devil steals from people. And the joy of the Lord is the strength of my life, Nehemiah 8:10. And he goes after the peace. I'm not going to give a name, but there's a very famous actor. Got millions. Brilliant and all this. And he's an alcoholic, a drug addict, and he's suicidal. But now he's afraid to commit suicide because I told him he'll end up in Hades in Luke 16:19-31. Brings up that flame and torment. Now he's afraid to do that. He wants my peace, but he doesn't want the Prince of Peace that gives us peace. Philippians 4:7 said the peace of peace which passes all understanding guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The third and fourth time that I was dying, should have died seven times. I was embracing peace that was overwhelming. I would die, and it is an awesome thing. But people want to do their own thing, and I tell them self has to be dethroned. Christ sit on the throne of your life. It has nothing to do with religion or denominations. Acts 4:12. I tell every night do that. Tonight I'll use that sermon, and I mean that verse, and both the men's side and the women's side of the Union Rescue Commission. It's just very clear. There's no name unto salvation that man will be saved except the name of Jesus. And I don't care what people say about me. Acts 5:29, I need God's approval, not man's. I do not use God's name in vain. I never have in a movie. I'll play hitmen, psychos, assassins, but I don't use, and I've lost roles. I've had 10 throat surgeries in 10 years, 18 to 28. Couldn't talk for 7 weeks at a time. My mother prayed and fasted 7 years. I'm blessed that I can even talk. And I wouldn't do nudity. I raised my daughters, you know, their mother left us when they were 7 and 10. And I don't compromise.
Right. Well, you know, I think that the work that you're doing is the most important stuff. And it's just, you know, our thought here on Humanitarian Radio is that you're doing some positive work and you're touching people out there that really can use your professionalism, and the fact that you are an actor and that you are a successful actor out there doing stuff, and that you take your spare time to do this is just incredible work. And we really appreciate people like you out there in the world, because as I said earlier, those are the places that most people don't want to go to. And yet,
you're needed the most.
You're needed the most. So it's people like you that are going out there doing that kind of stuff.
That's my passion, to win souls. And there's over, you know, 135,000 that have, you know, the Holy Spirit draws in John 6:44. But I go.
Now, do you do anything different at Christmas time, at the holiday times, than you do the rest of the year?
Yeah, I tell them, don't say Happy Holidays. It's Merry Christmas.
There you go.
I said, what holiday are you talking about, Christmas? And why don't you say Merry Christmas? If it wasn't for Jesus Christ, there wouldn't be Christmas.
Yeah,
and
true.
I'll go down to the county jail on New Year's Eve. I'm the only chaplain in there that will go. I wear my tuxedo.
I'm the only chaplain.
And I say, my name is Bond, James Bond. They go crazy.
That's funny. That's cute. I'm sure they're very appreciative that you're even there on that day, because like you said, you know, nobody's going there on that day.
And like Thanksgiving, like my newsletter this month will be on praise. Praise evicts the forces of darkness. Praise will dispel doubt, the biggest killer of faith. Praise will bring healing spiritually, mentally, emotionally. But most people don't praise God until they're lavishly blessed and they get amnesia in 2 weeks.
Yeah,
I spent a lot of time, all those years, they were going to amputate my leg or I was going to die when I was a little kid. My mother wouldn't let them. I have my leg. I can see. My eye was ripped with a 90-mile-an-hour racquetball, and God miraculously healed it in 16 hours.
Wow.
And had this 10th throat surgery. I had 27 surgeries. I should have died 7 times.
You've had a lot of miracles.
I have. And Malachi 3:6. God says, I am the Lord thy God, I changed not. He hasn't changed. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, forever. He hasn't changed. And there's so many people that are candidates for a miracle, but the devil comes in with that demon spirit of doubt, the killer of faith. And God hates not least unbelief. Unbelief is sin. And that's why God hates unbelief. And doubt is the big, you know, the day of unbelief. Devil's number one tool is fear, but boy, right behind it is doubt and discouragement. Oh dear, it's a very destructive tool. I do a sermon called "The Deadly D's," D like David, because when they don't have their spiritual armor on, which is a command in Ephesians 6:11, and verse 16, Ephesians 6:16, says, "Above all, put on your shield of faith to quench every fiery dart." Well. What does that mean? I tell. So they're walking around naked in the spiritual realm. All at once, bam, there's a fiery dart. Disappointment, discouragement, doubt, discontent. That's a spiritual germ. By the time the spirit comes in, they stop praying, stop everything, stop the word. And then from despair, despondency, disillusionment, demoralization, rejection, depression. And that's when people hear that spirit of suicide. We have a new module at LA County Jail now for the last month. We've got 30 guys in it in our 20s. They've all attempted suicide one, two, or three times.
Wow.
In our country, from Thanksgiving to Christmas, every year, 400,000 to 500,000 people attempt suicide, and half of them make it. Some of them that didn't die, I ask them why. Every single one, the same thing. The L word, lonely.
Wow.
People are lonely for that personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. It all starts there. Again, it has nothing to do with religion or denomination. And this is a very subtle, lying, seducing, deceiving spirit in 1 Timothy 4:1 and 2. Rear its ugly head like never before.
Well, you know, again, you know, it's really interesting that statistic to hear that there's that many people during the holidays, which are usually the most joyous time of year, that those are the times that people are the most desperate, and that's the time that that people really need
to
help,
give
help that you're giving. Now, let me ask you this: how can people help you out there? Do you have a nonprofit, or do you look for donations?
Oh yeah, I have a 501c3. In fact, I do an Omega Man radio show on spiritual warfare 2 hours twice a month. And on my website, there's PayPal. And I've been getting donations from Taipei, Australia. I mean, it is amazing the following that we have on that.
Beautiful.
And I have a 501c3. It's called Heavenly Manna, Inc. And my nonprofit owes me over $50,000 since 93. In the first couple of years, I just paid it on my own with the expenses and everything. Because when my wife left, I was working in I quit acting for like two and a half years to get healed and take care of my children. And I worked in a law office as a negotiator. I was bringing in $1.1 million a month. And I made money where I could take care of them. I got a legacy for them, which every dad is supposed to have.
Yeah, very nice.
And so, you know, it's like God always works for good what the devil meant for evil. Romans 8:28 is real clear on that. And I send out a newsletter once a month, and and goes to, you know,
newsletter once a month,
probably 700 people, and then it's on my website.
Probably 700 people.
Shannon Ray Davis, a strong brother in the Lord, who is the Omega Man.
Shannon Ray Davis,
he fixed my website out. It's absolutely incredible what he did.
Yeah, and I was looking at your website. So the best way for people to really stay in touch with you is to go to your MelNovak.com website.
Yeah,
and you've got a great biography on there. You've got some awesome pictures, your newsletter, a variety of sermons, radio show. I mean, there's a wealth of information on that site. So
I know there's a. I was thinking about getting a book done.
There's a
on all the testimonies that are in my website. These are people who were broke, who were in prison, who were drug addicts, who were alcoholics, and they are awesome. And my title would be, this is why I minister in Skid Row in prison.
Yeah.
It is, you know, if you look at like the June testimony, she was going to commit suicide. She's from Australia.
Yeah.
And she's contemplating it, and then turns the radio on, there's the Omega Man, there I am. And I was talking about, you know, suicide's not the answer.
Right.
She's in ministry now.
See, isn't that, she just needed you to give her the spark to turn herself around.
Yes. And you know, we have a lot of suicides in the prisons.
Yes.
We have a lot. They don't know how to deal with the spirit of heaviness, which brings abnormal grief and fear. The devil's number one tool. Yeah, we just had
and fear
last week.
Number one tool.
Six gangbangers jumped a guy. One guy. And they shut my service down. I got really mad at those guys. Says, you know what? You bunch of punks. You ruined my service, man.
Yeah.
And another one, they stabbed this one kid, 19 years old, in the stomach and in the neck. Well, they'll have to move him. Otherwise, they don't miss a second time. So it's just so much violence and anger and rage and unforgiveness.
So there's just so much
anger and rage. I don't let people talk in my service. I don't care where I am. There's no deputies in there.
I don't let people.
Even
talk
in Pelican Bay, I told them, yo,
no
talking. I'm the preacher here.
Yeah, right. Well, you got to command the room.
You can't come back for 2 months. And so I'm not going to let the inmates run the asylum. And, we had two stabbings last year in the church service in 12 days.
Oh, my gosh.
And I had a service 3 days after, and I said, I really got an encouraging message for you. I want you to listen. I know you all heard about the stabbings. So I just want to express something to y'all. You had the black gang, you had the gang bangers, you had all the people who are
trouble,
heavyweight criminals.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, and if you come at me to shank, I'm going to take your eye out, then I'm going to repent.
And I said, and if you come at me to shank,
well said. There you go.
I like it.
What's the last thing you want to lose is your eye.
Nobody right.
I'm not turning my cheek.
What's the last
there's no deputies in there. It's me and them.
I'm not
and I don't.
You're not messing around.
Me and them.
No, I don't.
So tell me, Mel, what's the next movie that you have coming up? We have to wrap up, and I want to make sure that we let people know what you're doing on the big screen so that they can go and support you.
Yeah, Samurai Cop Deadly Vengeance just got released. I was just up in Portland on a Thursday. They had the premiere up there on a Friday. I flew back Saturday. And had a co-starring role, Gregory Hatanaka, who turns out he was a Christian, blew him away when he found out what I do, you know, for the Lord.
Yeah.
And he said, every picture I ever do, you're going to be in a starring or co-star.
Beautiful.
And then he said to me, we're going to have a sequel. You're going to have a starring role. I said, how are you going
to
do that? I got killed.
He
said, we're going to open up with the same wardrobe. You're going to stand up, take the bullets out of your bulletproof vest, and you're really ticked off. And then, so that's
clever.
In January, I'll be doing Darling Nikki, that he's, I play an assassin in there, and he's directing it. But the next one coming out will be Checkpoint.
And,
they're still in post-production, but it was a big cast, William Forsythe.
Just
a whole bunch of real good people.
Excellent.
Thomas Churchill.
Just a whole bunch of
Wonderful director. I just love the guy. I led him to the Lord, incidentally. And then on December 1st, he's doing a music video that I have one of the lead parts in. But the one I just did, we finished last month, was Syndicate Smasher. I had the main role, tons of dialogue.
Excellent.
Shot a whole bunch of people, so I got a lot of flack on that one.
So you got a lot going on the silver screen here coming out 2016.
Yeah,
very exciting.
I just go about the Lord's business. I don't pursue. People contact me, and I tell them this is what I won't do. If that's a problem, I already turned down. This year I turned down five films because there were no other names in it. They didn't have distribution.
Sure.
They didn't have names in it. So I just said, no, thank you, but I'm sorry, I can't do it. And because I'm not going to waste my time and cut off any kind of ministry just to do that. But these films I did this year are really going to do what they're doing well. And there's another one called Bad Fellows. Remember Goodfellas?
Goodfellas, yeah, I do.
Well, these are Black Dons. And they wanted me to come back to Cincinnati to do the ending and then sign me for the sequel. And I said, I don't want to go back there. You're at airports 12 hours. I'm busy with ministry, so have someone else do it. And they called me back and said, we'll send someone out. And they did. They filmed me up here. And, already for next year, it's like there's five films that people want me to do in Leeds or co-star. One is called Tank. One is called, that's where Rommel had that black tank. One is Stalin when he was young. I played an assassin trying to kill him. So I just let the Lord do what he's going to do. And he knows my heart, Luke 16:15. I want to be known as a soldier for Christ, S-O-U-L-D-I-E-R, because I win souls.
Love it.
God gives me favor in these places. A danger.
That is great to hear. And listen, Mel, I hate to cut you off, because I think the story that you're telling and the things that you're doing out there in the world are great, but we have a limited time here. So again, if people want to reach out to you, they can go to melnovak.com.
Correct.
And I'll have that in the print. Keep Correct. Doing what you're doing. I know you're off to Skid Row right now, and I hope that you continue doing the work that you're doing, because you're doing some great work for some people. So
I won't stop till I stop breathing.
Well,
thank you so much.
Thank you.
Lord bless you, and I will talk to you again.
Thanks so much. We'll talk to you again. Thank you. Bye-bye, darling.
So every week we like to play a song for our guests and dedicate it to them, and this week is no different. We're going to choose a song that I wrote called King of Me, because what Mel is doing out there is he's helping people take responsibility for who they are and the choices that they're making and really helping them to move forward. So this is King of Me by Saint Tone.
Let me be. I'm the ruler of this kingdom. I call me be.
So once again, that was King of Me by Saint Tone. You could check out that song and a lot of other positive songs at www.sainttone.com. That's SAINTTONE.com.
You know, if you're looking for a little spark on your any day, you can always go back to humanitarianradio.com and check out any of our previous shows. We do keep them on there so that we can inspire you to find some good news for your soul. Do something great for someone else in your world.
Yeah, and if you know of a story or if you know of someone that should be on our show, by all means, connect with us on Facebook at Humanitarian Radio or go to our website, humanitarianradio.com, and reach out to us. Let us know any good news that you have out there that you want to share with the world.
Make it a good week.
We'll see you next time. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Humanitarian Radio, shouting out some good news for your soul.